Sudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What's the verse number? 13. Someone told me yesterday that you read 13. It says, my dear Lord, here is the great King Nabi. His ultimate goal in life is to have a son like you. You ever read that? Oh, okay. So we'll just read text translation purport for text 13. Dear Lord, here is the great King Nabi, whose ultimate goal in life is to have a son like you. Your Lordship, his position is like that of a person approaching a very rich man and begging for a little grain. Maharaj Nabi is so desirous of having a son that he is worshiping you for a son, although you can offer him any exalted position, including elevation to the heavenly planets or liberation back to Godhead. Please repeat. Dear Lord, here is the great King Nabi, whose ultimate goal in life is to have a son like you. Your Lordship, his position is like that of a person approaching a very rich man and begging for a little grain. Maharaj Nabi is so desirous of having a son that he is worshiping you for a son, although you can offer him any exalted position, including elevation to the heavenly planets or liberation back to Godhead. Purport. The priests were a little ashamed that King Nabi was performing a great sacrifice just to ask the Lord's benediction for a son. The Lord can offer him promotion to the heavenly planets or the Vaikuntha planets. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us how to approach the Supreme Lord and ask him for the ultimate benediction. He said, Nadanam Nadanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vadigadisha Kamaye. He did not want to ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. Material opulence means riches, a nice family, a good wife, and many followers. But an intelligent devotee doesn't ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. His only prayer is, Mama Janmani, Janmani Shre Bhavatad Bhakti Rahaituki Twayi. He wants to be engaged perpetually in the loving service of the Lord. He does not want promotion to the heavenly planets or a mukti, liberation from material bondage. If this were the case, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have said, Mama Janmani Janmani. It doesn't matter to a devotee whether he takes birth life after life, as long as he remains a devotee. Actually, eternal liberty means returning home back to Godhead. Devotee is never concerned about anything material. Although Nabi Maharaj wanted a son like Vishnu, wanting a son like God is also a form of sense gratification. Pure devotee only wants to engage in the Lord's loving service. Dear Lord, here is a great King Nabi, whose ultimate goal in life is to have a son like you. Your Lordship, his position is like that of a person approaching a very rich man and begging for a little grain. Maharaj Nabi is so desirous of having a son that he is worshiping you for a son, although you can offer him any exalted position, including elevation to the heavenly planets or liberation back to Godhead. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Bhacharane nirvishesha shunyavadi paskatya de satarna. We have a Bhagavad Gita. As we were reading this morning, in one verse that Prabhupada was, his purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that the material nature is consisting of five different elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then, of course, subtly there is the mind, intelligence, and the false ego. This is called a virtual reality. Although it appears to be the reality, but actually it's not the actual reality. It's reality composed of different gross and subtle material elements combined together, sometimes in the form of cars, sometimes in the form of bodies, sometimes in the form of mountains. And they appear to be eternal, but actually they're only temporary. They appear to be enjoyable, but actually they're simply of the same quality, perpetually. It doesn't matter how much or in which way one combines the material nature, it still winds up to be the material nature. Therefore, the idea is, Vishaya vinivartante nirharasi dehinam rasa varjam rasopyasya paramdrishva nivartate. That the embodied soul, he may be restricted from sense enjoyment, although that taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing higher taste, he remains fixed in consciousness. In other words, there must be some kind of happiness in the material energy, or else no one would be here. It said that Brahma, he created the first man, and the first man was bored, and therefore he didn't want to stay around. So then Brahma created a woman, and then he had something to do. So there is something here. But ultimately what's going on here is just a reflection of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. As Krishna has Radha and Radha has Krishna, so here every species of life has its mate and its home and its expansions in the form of children, its powers and whatever else, its shaktis. But this is said to be Ordvam Gachati Satvasta, Ordvam Alamadakshakam, Ashvatam Prahur Avhiyam, Chidansi Yasyaparnarni, Yastvam Veda Savedavit. That there is a banyan tree, it has its roots upward and its branches downward, and the hymns are the Vedic, and the leaves are the Vedic hymns. That no one who knows this tree is a knower of the Vedas. So the whole Vedic literature is meant to convince us that the material nature is not our home. Although everyone is trying to figure out how to make themselves comfortable here. The whole Western world, actually one time Prabhupada said, this whole Western world, which is meant to keep people in darkness, will soon come to an end. So the whole Western world is an attempt to make something uncomfortable comfortable. Here, especially in America, we can see that they made a big attempt to make everything comfortable by building superhighways across the country. Unfortunately, they don't have the money to repair them. So when you drive on some of the so-called superhighways, you find out there's quite a number of bumps on them. Sometimes there are even big holes in them. From here to big city like Los Angeles, you drive to San Diego, and we were on the luxury carpool lane. There was a big hole in the road, in the right in that luxury lane. And it's not surprising that some cars probably lose their wheels or their axles or whatever else on the superhighway, because it's not so super. But as Rome thought they were invincible, and Greece thought they were invincible, and France thought they were invincible, and one time Germany thought they were the conquerors, and where are they now? Prabhupada said, Napoleon, who was a big conqueror, he went all across Europe, conquering Europe, even over to Russia. So now they have a statue of Napoleon, and everyone comes at least annually and worships that statue. But the question is, where is Napoleon now? Maybe he's one of the birds making offerings on the statue. He thought he was going to conquer the material nature and become Krishna here, but he was wrong. And similarly, everyone else who was doing the same thing is wrong. And we are also doing the same thing. Maybe we're doing it in a more humble way. We don't want a whole planet or a whole universe. We simply want a nice house. And even that has become difficult in America, to maintain even one house. Prabhupada mentions that when he was in New York, one of his students' mothers came to him, and Prabhupada was talking to her, and he mentioned, why don't you get your son married? And Prabhupada said, this woman said, yes, he can get married if he can afford to keep a wife. So Prabhupada was quite surprised, because even in India, where they're so-called poverty-stricken, there's no problem for even the beggar on the street to maintain a wife. Prabhupada said he was in Calcutta, and one man was pulling a rickshaw. Or he mentioned another time, he said one man was pulling a kind of flatbed truck physically by hand, and he was blind, and his wife was still taking care of him. In other words, he had no money whatsoever, and still he had a wife. Here, even you have sufficient money, you may not be able to afford a wife. They're so expensive. Prabhupada said, white elephants. To keep a white elephant, you need practically a kingdom. Because although the white elephant looks very nice, but it eats a lot and it doesn't do anything. And what to speak of keeping a wife, maintaining a child is a big, big endeavor. It's a expensive hobby in the Western world. It used to be $100,000 just before the child would to bring up a child, before the child would reach to have to go to the university, which would probably be another at least $100,000-$200,000 nowadays. So the children can't do anything except playing video games, etc. And people have to work very hard, and they can hardly afford these things. What to speak of, it's said that there are 9 million people in America who lost their houses. So what to speak of imitating Krishna by having a house and a wife or a husband? It said that more women, I guess in England at least, more women in England had a child before the age of 25 than had a husband. Think about that. So, to have a husband or have a wife, to have a house, to have children, these things are very difficult to maintain. So we can't even maintain the illusion, what to speak of entering into the reality. We're so much in ignorance in Kali Yuga, we can't even maintain a good illusion. So what to speak of actually understanding what reality is. And reality is far, far away. The Prachetas say, yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya kama shaya grahitam utkritayanti shanta tavana rikta matiyo yatayo viruda shuto ganas tamarunam bhaja vasudevam. Just worship Vasudeva. Who can understand the amount of happiness in Krishna. Sometimes we try to imagine what Krishna is like, but how can we actually imagine Krishna? How can we even imagine someone who knew everyone's name here in this room? Who here thinks they know everyone's name in this room? Raise their hand. And even if everyone went around the room and said their names, how many of us would remember the names that were said? Of course, we could say, well, I know everyone here, their last names. There's Das and Dasi. But as we get older, we might even forget that. Hopefully not. In any case, if there was a person who remembered everyone's name here in the room, that would be quite an amazing person. We would say, oh, you have a good memory. What to speak of a person who knew everyone's name in Los Angeles? We wouldn't even believe such a person could exist. Even the computers have a hard time. And what to speak of everyone's name in America, or everyone's name on this planet, or everyone's name, including all the different species of life on this planet. Sparrow 1, Sparrow 2, Tweety Bird Sparrow, whatever else. No, someone who knew. But what to speak of everyone's name, past, present, and future, on this planet. We've had so many births, so someone, if they could knew exactly what our name was in the past, that would be quite amazing. What to speak of the unlimited universes? What to speak of the spiritual world? These things are far beyond our capacity even to begin to comprehend. And not only such a person has such a good memory, but he's controlling everything down to the atom. The idea of Bhagavan with six opulences is inconceivable. We may think, oh yes, here is Krishna on the altar, but how much can we really know about Krishna? Even the residents of Vrindavan, they wonder how much can they know about Krishna. But we can get some glimpse of what it's like to be with Krishna, because there are unlimited residents of Vrindavan, there are unlimited residents of the spiritual world, and they and Krishna never take one step out of Vrindavan. And eternally, they're so much absorbed in their loving pastimes and the pleasure that exists there, which is ever increasing. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudyat tasmai brahma sokyam tvanantam. Brahma sokyam tvanantam. The happiness which is said to be unlimited and goes on forever. So let us first experience that, and then we can see how much we really want to maintain our materialistic consciousness. When it mentions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is denying taking birth, he doesn't care if he takes birth again. He doesn't want followers. He doesn't want wealth. He doesn't want material education. Then we may take it for granted that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has not really understood very much about the material world, or he couldn't get a degree in college and couldn't get a good job, and, you know, the girls didn't like him or something, and therefore he's saying, I don't want any of these things. The sour grape theory. No, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not saying this. He's not only saying, I don't want these things, but he's saying, Mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatad bhakti ahai tu kitvayi. He wants something positive. He wants unalloyed service to Krishna. Because love is what's going on in the spiritual world. Love between the soul and Krishna. Service between the soul and Krishna is going on there. And the happiness is so great, as exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he was able to fix his mind completely on the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna to such an extent he was unconcerned with what was going on externally sometimes. To such an extent that he was seeing even this world as part of Krishna's pastimes. Of course, this world is part of Krishna's pastimes, but he was seeing it on a much higher level in terms of, for instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feeling separation from Krishna, when he saw an ordinary sand dune, such as the Chatuka Parvata in Jagannath Puri, he'd run to it at the speed of the mind, calling out that this glorious is this hill called Govardhan, because it's supplying everything for the cowherd boys and the cows. For the cows, it supplies nice lakes where the cows can drink the water, nice herbs for the cows, and for the cowherd boys, it supplies nice caves where they can perform their pastimes. Glorious is this Govardhan Hill. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so much in ecstasy, thinking that now I'm going to Vrindavan, there is Vrindavan, and I'm also almost there, that he was running towards it at the speed of the mind. When we hear about Vrindavan, we have to start thinking, do I really want to go there? Think about all the things that are going to happen in the future here. They're going to come out with a new iPod or something, and think of, you know, there's going to be a new sequel to the movie that I really liked last year. And if I go there, then I'm going to miss so many things. And no one's going to be able to send me an email to tell me what's going on. So the greatest obstacle to going to Krishna, our reluctancy, is to think that there's something in this material world which is more pleasurable than Krishna consciousness. But unless we follow the process given to us by our previous acharyas and gradually become eligible to actually experience that happiness, and that happiness is to become conscious of Krishna's name, form, quality, pastimes, and ultimately the mood of service, of love, that goes along the atmosphere with Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. It's not so important to even remember Krishna and things in relationship to Krishna as to have the attitude of service to Krishna. King Kamsa, he was also remembering Krishna at every moment, but not due to a service attitude, but due to a fearful attitude. So although undoubtedly there was some benefit to him and anyone else who followed in his footsteps, but such a remembrance of Krishna, devoid of the devotional attitude, does not produce the happiness. But in Kamsa's case, it only produced fear and anxiety. We already have enough of that. But it's the service attitude, that attitude of that I'm serving Krishna not for some material reward, but I want the greatest reward. That is an unalloyed service attitude towards Krishna. Simply, yata mula asheshanena, triptyanti tatskanda bujo prashaka, prahanarachan yatendriyanam, tataiva sarvahanam atateja. Just like if one waters the root of the tree, then actually the water goes to all the leaves and the branches. Similarly, by supplying food to the stomach, naturally, all the different parts of the body is served. Similarly, if one serves the Supreme Lord, Achyuta, then all living entities, including the demigods, become pleased. We have to become convinced that as I'm a faithful servant to this body and mind, so I can also become a faithful servant to Krishna. It's simply a question of redirecting my attention from what the body and mind are demanding from me to redirecting it to what Krishna is requiring or desiring from it. Therefore, one takes shelter of Krishna's devotees, tries to serve Krishna in the association of the devotees, and learns how to become conscious of Krishna's desires. So much so that one is always desiring to satisfy Krishna's desires, and then there is no more material existence. One becomes on a platform beyond material so-called happiness and distress. So on that platform, one becomes vairagya, detached from all these material conceptions that this house will make me happy, this car will make me happy, my wife will make me happy, my husband will make me happy. It is not that one gives up the husband or the wife or the house or anything else, but one utilizes these things also in Krishna's service. As Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura has prayed, manasa deho geho yo Kitsumora. That my house, my mind, my wife, whatever I have, I'm offering it to Krishna. That everything becomes an opportunity to please Krishna. And in that opportunity, everything is seen as it actually is in relationship to Krishna. And as soon as we forget to utilize something in relation to Krishna, then at once we become caught up with this idea that there is something apart from Krishna. And therefore, that's called material existence. Now here, Nabi is wanting a son to be, but even wanting a son is not bad because he's got approaching Krishna. But what does anyone need a son for? There is no such thing as one actually getting a son in this material world. Son means service. As soon as one gets a son, one thinks, now I'm the owner of the son, but actually one is a servant of the son. You have to change the diapers, you have to feed the son, you have to make money for maintaining the house, then you have to educate the son and buy him all kinds of equipment for playing games. So one becomes a servant. But if the son is utilized in Krishna's service, then eventually one will realize that actually the son doesn't belong to me. The son belongs to Krishna. And I'm simply the servant of Krishna. And as the servant of Krishna, I'm serving Krishna's son. Or this entity in the form of this living entity who's taking the form of my son. That's called enlightenment. But even without a son, one can become enlightened. If one has a son, one can become enlightened. If one doesn't have a son, one can become enlightened. The important thing is whatever we have, utilize in Krishna's service. The problem is if we get too many things, we might become bewildered. How to utilize so many things in Krishna's service? Therefore, the devotee, he doesn't require either a nice material position or uncomfortable material position. He simply requires some service to Krishna. And if he develops that mood, with whatever he has, then his life becomes perfect. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Here on the end of the purport, a devotee is never concern about anything material. Although Nanda Maharaj wanted a son like Vishnu, wanting a son like a god is also a form of sense gratification. A pure devotee wants only to engage in the Lord's loving service. My question is, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda in previous lives, they also wanted Krishna. So how can you understand that if they are pure devotee or, you know, according to that? They want Krishna like son, but here is explained. And
well, actually, Krishna wanted them to take birth so that he could appear as their son. So it's a little bit different. Because Krishna has to make... If Krishna just popped in, sometimes he does that. He just pops in out of a pillar or out of Brahma's nostril or something. But in this earth planet, it wouldn't go well. If Krishna suddenly popped out of someone's nostril, people would doubt his cleanliness or whatever. So, therefore, Krishna generally, on this earth planet at least, makes his appearance in a way which is acceptable by common people. And for that, he needs a mother and father. As it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, then he sent his father and mother to this earthly realm, along with Advaitacharya and other senior persons, to make his appearance, to make ready for his appearance. Similarly, we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when the Brahma went to the shore of the ocean of milk and prayed to Vishnu to please come and help us, then Vishnu gave him the answer, yes, I'm going to come, but first you demigods should take birth and make everything ready so that I can appear appropriately. So part of that was the appearance of his parents first, so Krishna can appear, Vasudev, Devaki, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda. Everything was made ready for Krishna's appearance. So this is all by Krishna's desire. Not. Yes.
Can get everything because the father maintains, but the devotee's love is so strong they want to be God's father so they can take care of God all the time. So that's the mood that Nanda Maharaj had. Not that he wanted Krishna so that Krishna could grow up to be a nice lawyer or doctor and take care of him. His love for Krishna was so strong that he wanted to take care of Krishna every moment. Mother Yashoda, every moment she's worried about Krishna. That's the way Prabhupada explained it.
God, thank you. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krandaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.